God, thank you that you meet us in so many creative ways. Thank you this morning, God, that you can meet us through the beauty of nature, for the sun that shines. God, thank you that you can meet us through the words of relationship. When we come together and are encouraged or welcomed, we know we belong. And thank you, God, that this morning you have met us through the words of the songs that we have been singing together. God, please receive these words as our worship, as our declaration of the truths about you. But also, God, encourage us to let those words sit, to ponder them, to believe in them, to let them grow into us and into our lives. And may we be a people who long for this freedom that you have to offer us, that you gave to us through a deep sacrifice. We ask these things in your name, and together we say, amen. You may be seated, and our wonderful bunch, big group of kids can head off to Sunday school. Thanks for all the leaders who are there this morning, investing in them. Welcome to the Gathering Church. If you're a guest here with us this morning, we're glad that you are here. If you are bookending your week by being here this morning, we're glad that you're here as well and hope that you have had encounters with God throughout this past week. I was saying to the worship band this morning, we're in a little bit of a heavy series. And so we want to make sure that as we're inviting you, encouraging you to answer some questions and to be reflective, that this is all covered with the goodness of God and with God's deep, deep love for us. Just a little bit of a highlight. Yesterday, quite a number gathered together for the Myers-Briggs kind of going deeper day, and it was great to learn more about ourselves, how God has shaped us, to hear us laugh when we kind of went, oh yeah, that's something about me, to be encouraged to be gracious to who we are and also to who we are to other people. And so again, it was just a great day of growing together, and I encourage those who were attending to maybe share a truth or two that they learned with someone around us this morning so they can be encouraged as well. What a truth it is that God loves each of us, and that in his deep love for us, he desires for us to be whole and to be free. Whole and free to participate in and to savor the abundant life that God has for us. And as we walk the journey of life, we meet many people and experience many situations and attitudes and words. And some of these, they build us up. They make us feel great. They encourage us towards living out the fullness that God invites us to. Other encounters with people and with experiences, they leave us hurt or wounded. And these wounds can lead us to a place of believing untruths about ourselves. And many of us can get stuck or we can get weighed down in life. And we call these spiritual bondages. We can often, even without knowing it, be living in a place of bondage. I think of bondages as having life-sucking power. They just want to suck the life out of us. Nothing can drain the human heart more than being held captive by some kind of bondage. Such bondage in our lives can yield to a death of spirit where we just feel we want to give up. And it can also lead to hopelessness. We can think of bondage as being as the state of being under control of a force or of an influence, something that presses down or something that binds us tight. In our spiritual lives, bondage is any area in our lives where we come into an agreement with a lie from the enemy that is in direct opposition to God's word. We take something on that is not a truth. In bondages, they determine how we think, what we expect or believe, how we feel, and how we respond. And we all experience wounds and bondages. None of us get away from those in our lifetime. They will be there. The invitation of Lent and of our Christian journey and our Christian life is to journey to the cross. And this is about being able to receive God's fullness. So it says in the song today, when I see the cross, I see freedom. It's asking for us to see in opposition to what that cross could represent. This series that we're going through right now is based on the teachings of wholeness through Christ, and Pastor Steve has brought this to us, and again, in a couple weeks, the actual organization will be here to walk us through some exercises and to teach us more about this. And we are working our way through four quadrants, which represent a way that brokenness can enter into our lives and keep us from experiencing the wholeness that Christ intended. And today we're continuing that journey, and we're going into the third quadrant, which is breaking free from bondage. So what are bondages? Again, bondages are what we expect. What we expect to happen, what we expect to be said to us, how we expect things will go in situations. Bondages are how we feel, or how we respond, or what we think, or what we believe. What we think about ourselves, what we think about ourselves, what we think about systems, things around us, and what we believe about those. We can be in bondage to people, to things, to places, or to attitudes. And we can be in bondage to wrong beliefs, to religious legalism, to sin, and to wounds which have not been healed by Jesus. Whatever we cling to other than Jesus becomes bondage over time. And I think we know this, that the things we hold on to eventually can take hold of us. On our journey to wholeness, we are strongly encouraged to pay attention to the areas in our lives that are not healthy and the areas in our lives that have a hold on us, from which we would like to be free. Galatians 5:1 is a beautiful scripture, and it says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery which was once removed." Christ has completely liberated us. 2 Corinthians 3:17 describes the freedom offered by the Spirit of the Lord. It's from the Amplified Version. "The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, true freedom. And we are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord." True freedom, liberty, set free. In the movie The Mission, mercenary and slave trader Rodrigo Mendoza makes his living kidnapping natives. After returning from one of these kidnapping trips, Rodrigo, in a fit of rage over the unfaithfulness of his fiancée, he kills a man. And although he's acquitted of the killing, Rodrigo spirals into a deep depression. He is in bondage to the guilt over the violent act. A Jesuit priest who works with the same natives that Mendoza was kidnapping befriends Mendoza and invites him into an act of penance. In the Catholic Church, an act of penance is an outward expression of repentance. So Rodrigo's penance becomes both a visual and a physical expression of his bondage. He ties a heavy bundle containing his armor and the sword that he killed the man with, and he ties this to himself, and he undergoes this incredibly long and difficult journey with his Jesuit priest to the village of the natives with this heavy bundle attached to him. And we're going to watch a scene. I'll get Kathy to turn off the lights. Since I first saw that movie, that is a visual that I have carried with me about it, what it looks like, feels like, when we are under something that is binding us. And the bundle in this clip is a physical representation of the bondage in Rodrigo's lives. And we see how physically exhausting it is for him to drag it around, and how it keeps him out of pace with the others, and how it sucks up all his energy, and it sucks up his spirit. It is what bondage can do for us in our lives. Similar to us, when we believe an untrue thing about ourselves or about others or about situations that do not align with Christ's ways and thoughts, we become stuck and we become weighted down. And we are unable to live in the wholeness that Christ invites us into. Because Jesus came to give us freedom, the Holy Spirit works to point out these areas in our lives that have a hold of us. The Spirit can do this in many creative ways, yet we must be paying attention and desiring wholeness to hear God's voice. One of the clearest recollections I have in my life of God inviting me to greater freedom happened actually when I was driving, and I remember exactly where I was still. It was on the road between Anyhow, it was on the road, and it was at this spot heading into Cambridge. I can remember it exactly. And it came to me in the form of a question that I still feel like I audibly heard. Just feels that way today. And it was a yes or no question. And when I answered no, I was immediately released from a lie that I had believed since my childhood. Just like that. I immediately burst into tears, and I wept, and then my tears turned to laughter, and it was this moment of great joy. In looking back, it seems so simple, but it remains a profound experience for me of God's good love for me and great love for me, and his desire for me not to be enslaved by untruths. And in moments of doubt, when I have those things that spin around in my head, the lies, I go back to that moment and I hold on to it. And I just say, I am not going to shrink. I'm not going to make myself small when God is inviting me into becoming my full self. And just recently, I read a prayer that just reinforced this idea, and it took me back to that memory of God's goodness. And the prayer said, Lord, you do not call us to shrink ourselves. Let us not be afraid to grow and expand, to stand steadfast in your confidence and grace, for your blessed Spirit lives within us. And over the past couple weeks, I'll say to people, don't shrink. God doesn't invite us to shrink. There are questions that we can use that may help identify the lie or strategies of the enemies in our lives. One example could be, what untrue words spoken to you have you accepted as truths and that have taken root? For example, you could say to yourself that you are not good enough, that you can never do anything right, you won't make it in your career, or any put down about your looks, your abilities, and your strengths. A biblical narrative that we can look at shows this when God chooses Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And even though God has chosen him, Moses says, I can't do it. Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I am not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. He speaks back to God's calling, telling God, even though you told me I can do this, I know that I can't. That's bondage. We say to God, I can't do it. The great I Am chose Moses for a mission, and he could not say yes because of what he believed about himself. When we accept harmful spoken words or beliefs as truths, we begin to use them as our lens of how we see ourselves. And this bondage then prohibits us from knowing God's truth about us. We become trapped in the negative thinking. When we believe Jesus' truths about us, we are released from that bondage. So you cannot be fearfully and wonderfully made and not enough. And you can't do all things through Christ and not do anything right. Another reflective question we can ask is, what false teaching or of rules of life have I believed in that are causing me to be in bondage? And just some examples are, I have to earn God's love. Keep the peace at all costs. Put others above yourself always. We hear some truth in those, but when we receive those as bondage, we become stuck in them. For example, if I live from the false belief that I have to earn God's love, then I will become in bondage to always doing, never resting. And I could end up living in a place of saying yes out of guilt or obligation. And if I continue to serve out of guilt or obligation, I can become resentful at God and possibly resentful at the church. And then this resentment can lead to bitterness, which becomes a place of bondage. Similarly, if I wrongly believe that we are to keep peace at all cost, then I will avoid conflict always. And this can lead to me pressing down my true feelings, which can in turn lead to anger and frustration. If I apply the principles of Scripture to this false belief, I can see that God doesn't say avoid conflict, but God invites us to learn to engage peaceably with one another and to recognize that there is room for differences amongst God's people. Another reflective question we might ask is, are there people or situations that have a hold on my life that I would like to be free from? Is there someone from whom you always seek approval? Is there a place you go to where you act out sinful behavior? Is there a person or a thing or a substance you go to for false comfort or for affirmation? Do you find yourself doubting yourself or elevating yourself in certain situations? We are in bondage when we are believing lies and living out those lies. We live in this battle of good and evil, of truths and of lies. And Scripture describes Satan as the father of lies, and that in him there is not truth. John 8 says, "For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And to counter these lies, we're told in 1 Peter 5:8 and 9 to stay alert, to keep our guard up against the enemy's schemes, that we are to resist him by standing firm in the faith. The verse says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith." And Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so if you are saying untruths to yourself or to others or to systems that have you bound from wholeness, then you want to stand against those words that are bringing death and replace them with words that are bringing life. I often think of bondage as being a place of darkness, a place where I don't allow the light of Christ to shine. And when I was working towards freedom from a bondage to a false belief that I had taken on earlier in my life, I was working with a counselor who likened the journey that I was on to a walk that I was taking, but I always returned back to a cave. And it was interesting this week in thinking through this sermon where I found the scripture where God is saying to Elijah, who has gone to hide in a cave, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And I pose that question again into the situation. And so for me, this cave, this dark place, represented the area of bondage. It was where the lie that I had believed about myself resided. I knew the cave well. It was really, really familiar to me. And at this point in my life, I realized that I didn't like being in it, but it was what I had come to know and to believe about myself for years. It was just one of the core beliefs I had about myself. And with a bondage, the lie we believe seems true. It has this really subtle nuance that it just seems true. So often we believe it very, very readily and deeply, and we don't challenge it, or we don't even see it as a lie. My freedom from this was not immediate. It was not one of those moments in the car with a yes or no question, but it was a journey of unpacking the lie and figuring out why it had a hold on me. And in this metaphor of me taking a walk and then coming back to this dark cave, really the first step for me was to step out of the cave and into the light. And I have this picture of what I was doing because I like visuals, that it was in this light, this first step out, that I looked at the lie, and I think of it being as I poked at this lie. I tried to figure out where that lie had come from and wanted to hear the words and the people and the systems from which it was spoken. I wanted to know how untrue it was. And so I poked at it, I looked at it, I explored it with a person. And I wondered why often it had become so comfortable for me. Why I just kept returning to it. But now in the cave, I added to the power of bondage things like this. It really, really doesn't matter if I believe in this. That's a big deal. I can live with this. And I think this is something that I'm always going to have to live with. I just think it will always be in my life. And there is actually some truth to this, and so why bother fighting it? It's taken a lot of energy. Why fight it? But then I think it was God, I know it was God, who kept coming back to me and asking me, why don't you want to be free from this? And also at the time, this lie, this bondage, it was causing a lot of problems in my relationships and in my life. I was stuck, and I was grabbing other people into that stuckness with me. So continuing with this metaphor, I would leave the cave and go for longer walks, and I would experience this taste of freedom, thinking that I was believing truths over the lies, and yet I would return to the cave. It came to a place where I would not go into the depths of the cave. I wouldn't go deep into that place where the lie was, but I would stand in that opening, and I thought, well, this must be wholeness. I must be free, and yet I wasn't. But one day, this person of support in my life asked me what I thought would happen if I didn't return to the cave. What if I didn't allow myself to return to that lie that I was believing? And oddly enough, at first it felt terrifying. But with God's help and a deep prayer of confession over the lie that I had believed and the ways I had lived from it, God released me from that bondage. The verses that supported me on this release of this coming out of the cave of bondage, as it were, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. Darkness is as light to God." And I really clung on to the story of Hagar when Hagar's words from Genesis 16, and she names the Lord, "You are the God who sees me." And I proclaim that over and over again, "You are the God that sees me." I'd believed the untrue words for a really, really long time. Many of my relationships and my Christian beliefs and my work habits had been formed around this untruth, and I really had to start doing a work. At times, it can jump back at me and it wants to enslave me, and it can actually trip me up. But now I feel like I am actually free and I'm released from that bond, and so it doesn't come in and take hold of me again. I really don't return to that cave. And that to me is freedom. And this morning when we sang that song, "When I Look at the Grave, I See Jesus," it's exactly that. When I look at that cave, I see Jesus there now. I don't see the bondage that I was in. I often return to the promise from 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." And that's not just a one-time moment. That is a process we have with God, that the old can be gone and the new can come, and the old can be gone and the new can come. And we celebrate that. And it just reminds us of the ongoing work of God's salvation. In the first sermon of this series, Steve compared the journey of wholeness to peeling layers of an onion. And in doing this, we're examining and removing the layers that bind us until we get to that core. We can call it the treasure, if you like to, wholeness. It is necessary to examine and to peel away layers in order to break free. And the beautiful thing is that we are not alone in doing this. God willingly helps us to peel away the outer layers of our lives, to find our central purpose, our identity, our wholeness in Him. And as we peel away these layers, freedom comes as we trust in God's truths. When we are breaking free from bondages, we want to use Scripture as our guide. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So if we have something that we believe about ourselves or about others or about systems, we want to take that thought captive and put it in front of Jesus and say, Jesus, is this your truth? Or is this a lie? And then we want to obey Jesus, following Him into our wholeness. And there's a beautiful verse in John 8 where it says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And we celebrate that. I was reading this week stories of slavery, when they were coming out of slavery, when the laws were changed. And there's this one example where they took a huge coffin and they put all their shackles and all the whips and all the things that held them in bondage as slaves. And they threw it into the ocean. And they said, the beast is dead. The beast is dead. And they were free from slavery, never to be taken back to that place again. We're invited to pay attention to our lives, to our inner thoughts, and to our reactions. We want to recognize the bondage that we are under, to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. This morning again, when we were praying, we talked about the Holy Spirit being gentle and kind, wanting for us to be free. It's not this heavy taskmaster that's going to make it really, it can be painful, but it's a good pain. It's not meant to harm us. It's meant for our good. We can confess our belief in an untruth, and we can receive God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Another way of looking at freedom, to be cleansed and purified. You want to break the curse. You want to reject it. So you do that by naming it as a lie. You can talk to it. You can ask someone else to come in and reject it with you. You listen to other people who say, that's a lie, that's not a truth. And so we reject it and we proclaim that it doesn't have power over us anymore. You fill that space that was once enslaved with God's truths and with a blessing. You can either invite God to place a blessing in that place or you can speak God's truths into it. So for me, verses that I often return to that fill those spaces where bondage wants to be or once were was, thank you that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So you can even guess from the verses that I go to what some of my bondage moments have been, what beliefs I've had about myself. Thank you that I am engraved. I am engraved in the palm of your hand. Thank you that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And for me, this is a blessing that says it's not done. I don't have to wait to heaven to experience freedom. So I'm not going to be bound on earth by these unlies or the untruths or lies that hurt me, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, which I proclaim is now. As we come to a close, I want us to watch again a scene from the mission. So Rodrigo has made it to the destination, and I invite you to think of the native in this scene as God freeing Rodrigo from bondage. when he is freed from that bondage, this tribe that he once persecuted invites him in deeply. And he becomes a Jesuit priest. And he uses the rest of his life to serve those who are in bondage. He was set free. My hope is that we will picture that this week, that that which we are carrying, that which we are in bondage to, we will let God cut it free. We will see it drop down the side of that mountain. And we will understand the feeling of being released and freed up. As the band comes forward, let's pray. God, thank you for your deep, deep love for us. Thank you like Elijah, you find us in places where we go to hide, and you ask us, what are you doing here? Why are you carrying all these lies and untruths? Why are you allowing yourself to be weighted down? God, thank you that in your love for us, you offer us freedom. That you say to us, I don't want you to carry around the heavy baggage. I don't want you to carry around lies or beliefs or untruths. I don't want you to go to places of darkness. God, thank you that you are good to us and you come to us and say, I've come to set you free and you will be free indeed. God, I pray you would invite us to places of courage, to places of awareness, that we would be people who trust in your goodness to us and trust that as we invite you to see those areas which might be weighing us down, that we do that with a purpose because the gift of freedom and wholeness is there and how beautiful that is. Be with us on our journey. Be with us as with all our hearts and minds and soul, we seek the freedom that you offer to us. Amen.